Welcome to the Superhost Unveiled podcast, where a small family created a thriving vacation rental business in the heart of the White Mountains. Founded by husband and wife duo Peter and Julia Plord, with the help of their business-savvy daughter Hannah, Peter was able to leave his full-time job and move him and his wife to their dream location. Together, we'll discuss the secrets of building a successful vacation rental business and beyond. Pack your bags, let's check in for the journey of your life. Here are your superhosts, Hannah and Peter Plord.
You know, legally with our town, which is disrupting my mental state, but I'm sure that, well, one, I think it's going to be a long battle, and hopefully a lot of good things are going to come out of it. And one of them being, you know, an advocacy group that speaks on behalf of vacation rental owners up here in our town. So not really wanting to get more into it on this episode because I want to stay focused on our topic. But yeah, that's been going on. And the other thing is we're buying a property down in the Outer Banks, which I think we said we'd have a show about, and we're not quite ready to do that yet. But that's going on too. So there's a lot of good things. And we're growing, which is, I would say always good, but it's not always good, but it's good right now.
Yeah. I feel like every time I talk to you, you're like, oh, we just got two more client calls, you know, every single day. It's like two more people. It's going to be a busy summer. So let's get into our topic for today, the top 10 things we learned in the last 12 months. So why don't I start and read the first one? We can kind of just bounce back and forth. So number one, we have once you get to a certain point, and if you are doing a good job, growth is unstoppable.
Yeah.
I think you just touched on that we're growing and right now it's good, but it's going to cause some problems later on.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of things behind that statement, you know, like the next one that we're going to talk about, we might as well just bring it up now. It's your website matters for growth. I think that was an important thing right from the start that we hit out of the park, not realizing it. We built a great website. We have a great URL name for up here in our market. And, you know, for a while I was using Google AdWords to get, you know, on the top of a search engine for people looking for vacation rental managers. You know, that's what the site's for. It's not really, although you can direct book there, it's not really, it wasn't built for that purpose. And because of it, it's allowed us to grow like really pretty quick in the first, you know, 6 months, as we've talked about in previous episodes. You know, we went from zero clients to 10 very quickly. And, you know, now we're on our way to 30. And I don't use Google AdWords at all anymore, because if you do a search for our URL, which is North Conway Property Manager, we're on the first page. There's a couple advertisers above us that are paying for those spots. But I don't really at this point, my foot is off the gas pedal from a growth standpoint. So
yeah,
kind of, it's all happening. And so what, one of the things in that first statement, it says, if you are doing a great job, growth is unstoppable. And that's very important, because if you're not doing a great job, then I think growth is difficult.
Right.
And, you know, we're not doing a perfect job, but we are doing a really solid job. And what's happening now is referrals are kind of taking over. I'm still getting calls randomly that hit our site. I probably get two or three every, I would say, 10 days. And then the other ones are coming in from referrals from owners and other people that know us up here.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've reached the coveted organic growth where you don't have to put any effort or any ad money into it, but you're just growing and things are just showing up and basically begging to work with you. And that is what everyone really desires to have.
Yeah. So if there's takeaways for someone who isn't where we are, and yeah, what I like about it is, if I wanted to press on the gas, I could, you know, like I could start Google AdWords again. I could advertise on Facebook. I could really try to market our business if I wanted to go faster than we're going. I'm just not at a place of wanting to do that. I like the way we're growing. It's allowed us to fix any gaps in operations and improve operations. And if anything, I was thinking about this today, now that we're bigger, I'm working less.
Yeah.
I'm working less in the business, and I'm working more on more high level kind of tasks, which are meeting the owners at their homes, talking, you know, doing walkthroughs with them on their properties, deciding if we want them or not, talking them through what we do. That's pretty much what my day in and day out is.
You're doing more high level CEO tasks, yeah, rather than working in your business.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I think that's good. I think it's cool because when you first start, this is kind of for everybody, typically you're solo. You were lucky enough to have a family that just jumped in and ready to help. But a lot of people start off as solo. And then once you get to the point where you can outsource and hire cleaners, in our case, and walkthrough specialists, and, you know, have people take care of the trash and all that, now you can solely focus on the efficiency of your business and growing.
Mm-hmm.
So we touched on number two, your website matters for growth. Is there anything else you wanted to say for that?
I mean, the only thing I would say is that you definitely want to have one right away.
Yeah.
If you want to build a business, and it does matter. We had someone just join, an owner just join us, and we were doing a walkthrough, and he basically said, like, your website was, I don't want to say the difference maker, but it was one of the key elements for him choosing us. And I think it's because we built the site to be really personal and not organic, stuffy. You know, it's very like, this is who we are. We live here. We live here because we love it here.
Very transparent and honest.
Yeah, very transparent. I think, you know, one of the things that's working for us, and I didn't put it on the list, is transparency. We're very transparent. I had some, I was in a Facebook group, and someone asked, you know, I'm owners are seeing all guest communication. How do I stop that? And, you know, I'm thinking the person was a co-host, or I think, and obviously the owner's on Airbnb, and they're on Airbnb as a co-host. So the owner's seeing everything that's going on. And my response to that was, like, the only way really to do that I know of is to shut the Airbnb notifications off. The owner would have to do that. But I basically said, you know, transparency is really important. And I don't care if the owner wants to see every single message that goes out. You know, and some owners do, and some owners will message us and say, hey, you know, I don't know, they'll give us advice or their perspective. And I don't push that away, you know. Yeah. And then some owners I don't think they have notifications on, so they never see it. So, and then they might go into, you know, messaging once in a while and just check on it. But if you're doing everything right and you're really kicking butt, I would say transparency is really important at every part of your business.
Yeah. And I also would add that our website brings in all this traffic, but we didn't spend thousands of dollars on it. So, like, to hire a website designer, you do need to take, you know, it is going to cost at least $1,000. Typically, it's like around $2,000 to $5,000. So what we did is, you know, we bought the domain. We used a hosting platform, which nowadays hosting platforms are very robust. They have a ton of free layouts that you can use. They like to build your website. It's super easy nowadays. You just need to have, you know, some eye of detail and know how to navigate it. But I am tech savvy for sure, but I don't think I by any means would be able to, you know, make websites for clients. Or maybe I'm selling myself short. Maybe I should start doing this, but I don't, my claim to fame is not website design. So, you know, very simply, I think it took me like 2 days to make it. And now it's bringing in all these clients and bringing in all this revenue for us. So my long story short, you don't need to shovel out lots of money for it. You don't need to spend hours and hours and hours on your website. You just need to make sure it's clear, it's easy to navigate, and it's eye-catching.
100% agree. All right. What's the next one? Number three, it's all about relationships.
Yeah. Well, I feel this, like any point in business, whatever business you're doing, the more connections you make,
the easier it is going to be to grow, because even if those connections are not necessarily clients, they can still, you know, refer you to people they know, and they can still give you advice and make other connections for you. So I think whatever business you're in, relationships are key. But why don't you talk about how you used relationships to leverage your growth?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all about trust, you know, and how you come across to people is so important. You need them to trust you, and you really start building relationships within the first 30 seconds, I think, of a phone call connection.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so you have, hopefully you can do it without thinking about it. I'm older, so I don't think about relationships. It's just about, you know, caring about the person that's on the other line, and not, we've been lucky from the beginning that we weren't driven by a dollar amount or a unit count. We were able to build our business based on relationships more so than the outcome. So what I mean by that is, I get a lot of calls that don't turn into clients because we're not the right fit for them. And I'll give you an example, and I'm not even sure if this is going to come to fruition or not, but this lady called, and she has a property that she's been renting herself on Vrbo. She has, I think she said, 95 bookings for this summer already. And they lost the people that were their boots on the ground. It was their neighbor, and their neighbor's moving to Arizona. But she didn't want to give up control because she does have a lot of bookings and a very good established site on Vrbo. And me and her just had a conversation about what we do and what we charge. And, you know, we don't need to pick up a client that we just cleaned for. It's not what we want to do. We did that at the beginning and we got rid of it. We're so, you know, we're at a point now with almost 30, just about knocking on the door of 30 properties, that it's very important that we stay focused on those full-time clients. So yeah. Anyway, we had a conversation and I said, you know, we might be able to do something for you. Maybe if you totally do all the communication, maybe we can, you know, negotiate the terms or whatever. And that was it. I don't know if I'm going to hear back from her or not, but my thoughts through that whole conversation wasn't about getting her to come on board. It was about solving a problem that she had and caring about that. And if I could help her, even if it wasn't with me, then I would do that. And if you have the ability to put people's needs first, the relationship just kind of happens.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. And I was going to say, there's really two top mistakes that I see entrepreneurs make when they're trying to attract clients or, you know, obtain clients. Mistake number one is they treat a new inquiry as a dollar sign. So instead of seeing it as a person, they see the person as potential money, potential a new client, bringing in revenue for them. So like you said, you saw the person as a problem and that you wanted to help her solve. But someone else could have been like, well, my only goal here is to make money. So mistake number one, I think, is people don't see people as people when they're in an entrepreneur, you know, wanting clients. And that can just, the conversation can come across like really forced or rehearsed or, you know, very, you know, repetitive or scripted. But when you treat it as someone that you're building a friendship with or a relationship, like you said, then it's going to seem more warm and like you actually care about the problem. And then mistake number two is oftentimes entrepreneurs will place a lot of value on an inquiry. So like you said, we're in a place where we really don't need another client, and we certainly don't need one who just wants cleaning done. So you don't really care if she comes on or not. And the one problem that I see many people make is they get so obsessed with a possible new client that when the client decides not to go with them, it crushes them and it kind of impacts, it kind of steamrolls their progress, and then they, you know, slow down a bit. So I think that story you just told really highlighted the two major mistakes I see others make.
Yeah, that's very good. I agree. All right. Go ahead. Number four.
Number four, the right software is key. And this is definitely key for us. I know
at the beginning, we were trying things out, and there was a couple of months when we were with a different software that just really wasn't working. And I know, like, we paid money for this, and I don't think you were able to get money back from it. But we are kind of like, should we stay with this software that's not working for us, or take the loss and find a better software that will work for us? And, you know, ultimately we decided to take the loss and find a different one. And it is such a great decision, because this one that we have now is really, really great. But the other one we were working with just was not for us and not where we wanted the business to go. So I think not being attached to the software that you choose at the beginning is really important, as long as you know what trajectory you want to go in with your business.
Yeah. And I think the other piece I would say is that it's easy to dismiss a software based solely on one thing. And I'm thinking about price. You know, at the beginning, price was definitely a factor. And our software that we use now, I don't think a single unit person, you know, if you're just starting, I don't think you can actually use it. I think you have to be at five, or I don't know the bottom number, but it might be five. And it's more, you know, it's definitely more expensive than other software that's on the market. But it was so important to me to have the right tool to be able to expand and do what we want to do, that, you know, cost was a factor, but not the primary driver. And one thing I would say that of the way we've built our vacation rental company is that there's very little cost involved from my opinion, from a traditional business. Like, we don't have a building that we're renting out. You know, we're not paying, we didn't go into debt to build it. So the software piece is the primary expense, but it's also the most important piece of the puzzle for us to manage all the things that we have to manage. You know, think about guest communication, calendar organization, cleaning teams, operation management, you know, all of those factors we're able to manage through this primary software piece, which in the past for us, when we just started, we had like four or five doing what one is doing.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, if we look back to a couple of months ago, we had so many different things that were really stretching us too thin. Cause we had to, you know, if there was a house listed on Airbnb and VRBO, we kind of had to use two different platforms at sometimes. And also, like, messaging was messed up through that. And we also had to have a different platform for the turnovers. And, oh, God forbid, the VRBO didn't connect to that turnover platform. And now we missed a cleaning, or now we're last minute realizing we have a cleaning. We had double bookings that came up that were a huge nightmare. And because we took that investment of this new software that, yes, is more expensive, we are able to do all the turnovers in that app. We're able to do all the communication and all the bookings across the different platforms that we have in that app. We also are able to build out direct booking in the app. And we're also able to, you know, you're able to do all the finances. Like, you're able to do so much in the app, whereas before we were spread really thin. I was going to say something else, but I can't remember what I was going to say. Yeah. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an important piece. All right, number five, have a plan for the slow season if possible.
Yeah, I think especially with property management and vacation rentals, there are ebbs and flows to your year. So as an entrepreneur, and if you have a business, even if it's just one vacation rental, you really need to account for that loss of income, because for us, winter and summer is the like busiest years. But so in spring and fall, when it's not as busy, did we account for that ahead of time? Did we, you know, plan for lower income? Are we feeling hurt because we have lower income, you know? So I think it's really important to account for that loss that could happen.
Yeah. And the other part of that for me is if you plan it right, and you have the ability, you can generate income for your company in the slow season. For example, we're doing a ton of yard cleanups. We did one yesterday and the charge was $400, and I'm probably low. I feel like I'm low, but you know, we blew all the leaves from the yard. We bagged leaves. We cleaned up and made sure there was no trash on the outside. You know, we've mulched a property. So we've done probably 5 or 6 houses cleanups, which probably would, if I was to guess, generated about $2,500 in revenue for the month. So yeah, it's a slow, and you know what? It's not even about that money. It's about making that house more appealing for our guest, you know, once we get out of the mud season up here and get busier. So
should we move on to number 6?
Sure.
So number 6, never stop hiring cleaners. We've talked about our cleaners a lot and how we've had times where it's been stressful for us. We haven't had enough cleaners. And I think the trend for us is that as time goes on, we lose cleaners, but we're also still hiring cleaners. So we have a new cleaner to replace the one that we lose. Anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I think I just feel like for most mountainous towns like this, I feel like there's always a shortage of workforce. It seems like not even mountainous, any kind of like high tourist destination. I know in the Outer Banks, you know, it's the same deal. You know, finding people to help clean your property and is definitely, and handyman and people like that is definitely a problem down there too. So it's not just where we are. So I think you always have to be on the lookout for someone that can be of value to your team, and you got to stay proactive on that. So it's all about talking to people. Hey, do you have anyone? You know what? You know, now that we have a good core of cleaners, you know, we have cleaners bringing us cleaners. So I think it's so important to always be open to that and get the next person on board, because you're slowly going to come out of this slow time and go and be in the, you know, in the middle of the busiest time. And it's really hard to hire and train when you're in the weeds.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to always look ahead too. So kind of with the same thing at number 5, have a plan for slow season, be prepared for the busy season. So by always having people on hand that will come in handy once we get busier, you're thinking ahead and not just, you know, looking at the next week. You're looking months in advance.
Yep.
Number 7, communications control person is a game changer. Communication control person is a game changer.
And I don't know if that's the title, but we now have someone, Sarah, our other daughter, who's in charge of all communications with our guest. And it's really, I know it's helped your life out.
Oh, geez, yes.
And it's, you know, and I still answer a lot of communications, but the pressure's not solely on me. So it's allowed me to have days off. It's allowed me to put my phone away at 5 o'clock at night if I want to, you know, which is pretty awesome. So yeah, that person was key. I don't know if it's necessary from day one, because it's probably going to be you, the listener, who's building their business. But at some point, I think it's very important. And that could be, you know, we've talked about VAs in the past, virtual assistants. I think there's a lot of ways to fill that person, that position. And for us, it's definitely been a game changer.
Yeah. And she's been like creating things on her own. So she is creating a spreadsheet with like all the different attributes of each house. So if a guest asks like what kind of coffee maker X house has, she can easily look that up and figure it out. So I think not only has it given us peace of mind, like for me, communications was a huge stress. And so not having to do that has really lifted that for me. But I know like for you, you've been tied to your phone and really relied on you. So not only has it given us peace of mind, but we also make sure we're not double messaging people. All the communication is the same across the board. There aren't like different tones from different people. And yeah, I think it's just been a really huge game changer for our business. We do need to figure out how to give her days off though, before she gets burnt out.
Yeah, she's good for now. All right, here we go. Number eight, an operations manager is a game changer. You're the operations manager.
Yeah.
Maybe define it. And that term is different for different people.
So right now my role is, well, in order to explain this, we have to explain the two other jobs that we created for our team. So before this operation manager came into existence, we were doing a team leader type management system. So I was managing four properties where I was doing all the communications for those four properties. I was doing all the walkthroughs, laundry, everything really. And you and mom were doing all the other ones. Well, obviously that has issues because now we're at 30. So if I have four and you have 26, that's really hard to manage. And like we mentioned earlier, the communication aspect of it was really taking a toll on me. But it also causes some other problems because, you know, you never got a day off from walkthroughs and picking up trash or anything. So the business really relied on you. And so as a attempt to take the business or to make the business more independent, yeah, like not relying on you as much, we were creating the communications control person and the operations manager. So, two jobs that we made is we have an initial walkthrough person now. So before at 11, when the guests leave, we have someone assigned to a task for each house that's flipping to pick up the trash, start a load of laundry for the cleaner, pick up extra laundry, and just do a walkthrough of the house to see how the guests left it, as well as outside the house to make sure there's not trash just left around the yard or anything broken. And then a second job that we kind of already had, but we kind of made it more official and we like defined it more because we had it loosely defined now, but now we have it more defined, is the final walkthrough. And that person walks through the house, restocks everything, writes the note for the guest, and sends the early check-in message to the guest if there is one. So my job as the operation manager is now I assign those tasks to everyone on our team that is able to do it. So basically right now it's just our family, but I assign tasks, the trash initial walkthrough and the final walkthrough for every single house every day. And so what that's allowed me to do, and I don't know if you've picked up on this yet, but I've been figuring out when people are getting days off. So instead of working every single day, I'm making sure you and mom are getting at least one day off a week, that Sarah is getting one day off a week, and that I'm getting the days off that I need. And I've been trying to get it as even as possible. I've also been able to take into account the location because all of us live in different places. Like you live in this area. I live closer to town where a lot of other properties are. And Sarah lives in another town over, which also has properties around it. So I've been able to strategically plan who's doing those tasks based on the location. So instead of having you do all of them, which could be a 15-minute drive for you, it's only a 5-minute drive for me. So that makes more sense. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it for a couple of weeks now, and I think I really like it. I don't know if you're probably really liking it too, because you don't have to do as much work. Don't know how Sarah's feeling about it, but also on top of that, we're adding payment, or we're paying ourselves for that. So if you do initial walkthroughs, you get $100 for the day. If you do the final walkthroughs, you get $100 for the day. So that not only takes the pressure off of us not having day off and like figuring all that out, but now getting that revenue from this is allowing me to take a step back from cleaning as much, because that's not the goal for me, to clean all the properties. My goal is to really take a step back and, you know, do this operations manager role that I was really dreaming of from the day one.
Yeah, it's been a complete game changer for me. And I had a call with my accountant last night. And she's like, you know, so how is it not working for someone else? And I told her, like, I feel guilty sometimes because I'm, you know, we're programmed to work, you know, and to work a lot. And, you know, my background's the restaurant business, and, you know, I was never home at night, and I was always either in a hotel or traveling and always working weekends. So now it's been, the challenges for me has been, I think I'm working 3 hours a day, if that, with, you know, and when I don't have literally anything to do, I'm like, what do I do now? You know? Yeah. So it, what I got to get better at is kind of managing my lack of work. Yeah. And, you know, some things that are kind of going on in my mind is like, all right, how can I don't know, how can I build another business? How can I do so more like thinking about it from a creative standpoint? Like, what can I do? Can I write a book? I don't know. I'm a terrible writer, but maybe a ghostwriter will write it for me. But you know what I mean?
So we talked about coaching in the past, coaching people how to start an Airbnb,
creating a course, you know, all of those things I now have the ability to think about because of those two moves, the operations manager more so than the communications manager. So yeah, like there's days when what's cool about our app or our software, I should say, is that you basically get, it's called a task, and it basically says, this is what you got to do. And like, for me, I don't have anything till Sunday, you know? Now I have stuff to do. Like tomorrow I'm going to meet a locksmith and going to take photos, and I'm going to list a new property, and I listed a property this morning. So yeah, I'm doing stuff that only pretty much I know about. But because I don't have to do those things that I was just doing and winging it basically, you know, mom and I were basically like, all right, how many walkthroughs are you doing today? And who's getting the trash? And you got to get this and that. Now it's all very more organized.
Yes.
And yeah, we have family members doing it because we're a family business, but you could easily train someone to do any of those. And we will eventually, as we get bigger, need one of our, you know, all-star cleaners that could do it. So, and we're kind of building, you know, the manual in the background for those, for that job, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that was a weird sound. And we've also talked about, you know, giving ourselves entire months off where we can leave all of the family members and just have a different person take over some of the responsibilities so that we actually get, you know, paid time off. So a lot, developing these two roles have really allowed us to plan for a stress-free future in the business. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that actually happens. Number 9, when you aren't working in your business all the time, it allows for focused activities. I feel like you touched upon that. Do you want to expand a little bit?
Absolutely. I kind of just said it, right? I mean, it allows me to focus on building relationships and getting the new clients on board, doing, you know, we also are realtors. So doing the real estate side, me and mom went and did a walkthrough with a new owner and just kind of talk through like timing and what could be done to enhance the unit, talked about linens, what linens to buy, what linens you don't need to buy, what needs to get done, what you can push off to next summer or next slow season. So it's allowing us to do those things at a much less frantic pace, where maybe we were doing those things in between cleanings and walkthroughs and all that other stuff. So it's allowing us to really be super focused on the visit and not distracted by what's coming up next, you know? So that's really, I think, really important, because it's important that the person that you're visiting really feels like they're the center of the universe at that moment.
Yeah, that you're valuing them.
Yeah. So I think that's probably the biggest takeaway.
I'd also say that when you're not working in your business every day, like doing all those day-to-day tasks that you don't necessarily need to do, you don't only have more time to focus on those really important money-making tasks, but it also gives you more time for creativity. So you can think of other ways to create income streams, like passive income, creating a course, or, you know, think of book ideas. You know, those things would never happen if you're constantly busy and running around. So giving yourself, like if you're in a position where you don't have all these extra roles and all these people on your team, scheduling 2 hours of your week to just be creative and not think about anything else can allow you to get to that point as well. Anything you want to add?
I agree 100%. Nope.
All right. Number 10, pricing and revenue software is key.
Yeah. And I know we've had the CEO and founder of Price Labs on here. But when I'm reflecting back on 12 months and the top 10 things, and have, you know, I have an owner who we just did a deep clean for. He's been a very successful owner before us. He was managing all the communication, the bookings, the pricing, all of that stuff on his own. And he was outsourced cleaners up here, and had a, he actually had a management company cleaning his house. And then he kind of fell into our lap last year during the explosion that we had happen from us growing. And one of the things he just said on a recent conversation with Mom and I was, it's amazing the price per night that you're able to get for my property and the revenue increase that we've seen since you taking over is just mind blowing. And what's good about it, about the conversation with him, was his understanding of, now we have to make sure that we deliver on the experience to match the price. But the point of that whole story is, it's, you know, I can say till I'm blue in the face how important pricing and revenue software is to our success. But to hear an owner who's didn't have it, now has it, and is now reaping the rewards of it, to me just reiterates the confidence that I have that you're going to give up 20% for us to manage your property, or, you know, whatever price you're charging as a vacation rental company. It really doesn't matter. But if you can prove kind of that you're going to make more with us because of this, because of the way we're managing your revenue, and it's not price by itself and it's not occupancy by itself, it's the combination of the two. You want the highest occupancy at the highest possible price. Because if you have a high price and you have no occupancy, you're making $0. And if you have high occupancy, but your prices are so low that you're giving away your stays, then you're leaving a ton of money on the table. And, you know, one thing I would say for us right now is where I get anxiety during mud season is that, you know, we're full every weekend. Every weekend's full April and May, but the midweek slows down. So we're looking at like a 65% occupancy, where normally in season we're 90 plus. So what happens to me is I have to fight my internal angst of not being at that 80 to 90% occupied. So, because what happens is I like think about dropping prices, you know, to fill those spots. And I have dropped prices and I have, you know, done discounts. But recently I actually raised prices because I wanted to make sure that we don't leave money on the table in the summer, obviously, which is our busiest time of the year. And the other thing I don't want to do is I don't want to get bookings too far in advance. I want to make sure that, because if you drop your prices, you're going to get occupied quicker.
Right.
But you're not going to, I know it's very kind of hard to understand possibly the way I'm explaining it, but if you get occupied too quick and you're say 100% occupied, that might not be good.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. You kind of want to be, because what's happening, if you think about inventory, is that let's just say June 1st through the 5th, you put those dates in, there's 120 properties available 3 months earlier. As you get to 30 days out, those 100 properties might be down to 15, and the pricing
goes up.
The pricing levels are at a higher rate because all the low demand, ones were, yeah. So you're going to just have to trust the your gut a little bit, your understanding of your market, and then allowing your pricing to do what it needs to do.
Yeah.
I hope that makes sense.
I think it does.
Okay.
Yeah. And just having a pricing software, we've talked about this before, is going to make you more money, bottom line. So
100%.
Like the story you said with the owner, he was doing it all by himself, and we have been able to get him way more money through this pricing software. And I know when you first started, you also was doing it yourself. And when you switched to Price Labs, who we had on the podcast before, you were able to make so much more money. So whether you think you can do it, you might be able to, but using a software that is taking an account of trends in your area and what other houses are doing, that's going to just help you be more competitive and in the end, make you more money.
Yep.
All right, number 11. Oh, so like we said at the beginning, we have two bonus ones. So 1 through 10 we have now completed, but we have two extra ones for you. So number 11, have a plan, but be ready to pivot.
Yeah, and I think anyone that's kind of in this business already knows that, you know, like if you think you have a plan for your day, that can change in such a quick, you know, in a heartbeat. And if you're not ready for that mentally, you know, you can go sideways fast, you know? So you need to have a plan. This is my plan. But then you get to a house and something's wrong and you got to fix it, or, you know, whatever the issues are, or a cleaner doesn't show up, or knock on wood, that doesn't happen to us very often. Or, you know, you name it, stuff happens. It's very important to be mentally stable enough to handle that. And I think we've been trained really well. You know, it's just like the restaurant business for me. You know, no day goes completely as planned, and you always have to be ready to pivot in that business. You never know if your staff's going to show up. You don't know if you're going to run out of food. You don't know if you're going to get slammed by a bus. Whatever happened, you know, whatever could happen in the restaurant business happens, and it basically trained me for what I'm doing now. So I'm just saying, if you have a plan, you need one. That's important. Don't think you don't need a plan, but understand that plan needs to be flexible.
Yeah. And in any entrepreneurial role, if you're starting a business, whether that's in real estate or something else, you need to have a plan, like you said, but you need to not be so attached to that plan, because everything you do is an experiment and you're trying to figure out what works and what doesn't work for you. So if something's not working, don't be like, well, this is my plan, I have to stick to it. No, you need to be ready to adapt and pivot and try something else and take that plan not working as a learning point. So I think that's a good segue into number 12, which is never stop learning, adapting, and improving.
Absolutely. And I, you know, that to me kind of defines my life. I think a lot of people are like that. And I think a lot of people probably aren't. And I think the entrepreneurial ones, the go-getters, the ones that want to build something special, there's no way you can do it without number 12. So for me, I'm consuming podcasts about vacation rentals. I'm constantly, what's the next book I can read to help me be a better leader, a better business builder, a better entrepreneur, you know, and then not only just consuming information, but then using that information to help us get better as a company, and never thinking that we have arrived. I don't think we'll ever feel like we're at the end of the line. You know, it's always going to be like, all right, now we're here, but this isn't where we want to be 12 months from now. I'm excited actually to think about that. You know, when we come back next April, one, what are we talking about? What are the top 12 or top 10 things in 12 months from now?
Yeah.
So
will it be the same, or will it be drastically different?
Yeah, probably different. And then some things will be the same.
Yeah. I think it's important to always know what your goal is. So I know this is technically your retirement. So your goal was to work less, even though that's really hard for you. So I think depending on what your goal is, like you said, there's never going to be that end point, whether that's, it's not necessarily money end point. Like the goal might not be to keep growing, growing, growing and getting more and more money. It could be, how can I work the smallest amount of hours and make the most money that I could? How can I spend more time with my family? How can I travel the world? Whatever your goal is, you need to be clear on that and figure out ways to get to that goal and keep working towards it.
I couldn't agree more.
Awesome. So those were the top 12 things we've learned in the last 12 months. Pretty much it was our first year in business and it went by really fast.
Like lightning.
We are excited for summer because last summer was very stressful. So we're highly anticipating being more organized and hopefully being less stressed. Is there anything else you wanted to say to wrap this up?
No, I think it was a really good episode, and hopefully everyone that's listening enjoyed it. And just let us know what, you know, if you have something on your mind that you want us to talk about or have an episode about, please shoot us, you know, shoot us a message about it.
Yeah. So you can reach us at superhostunveiled.com. That's where we store all of our show notes. And there's also a contact us form there. So we were just talking about ideas for the show. So if you do have an idea or a question or whatever it may be, or if you want to be on the show, please shoot us a message there and we can get back to you.
Yeah. Let me just talk about that real quick. I really love interviewing other hosts, and I think a lot of times other hosts don't feel like they deserve to be interviewed. And I think everyone has a great story. And if you're running one property and you're doing well and you're successful and you're a super host or whatever, then you basically, I think, qualify, because you can teach someone something that you might take for granted that can help someone. So don't think that you don't deserve to be interviewed and you don't deserve to be on our show, because I think you do.
Absolutely. So with that, thank you so much for listening to the Superhost Unveiled podcast. Like I just said, you can reach us at superhostunveiled.com. You can also find us on Instagram, although our account is not very active right now. And please make sure you give us a review wherever you listen to your podcast, and share the podcast with a friend if you liked it. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Hannah.
And I'm Peter. Have a great day, everybody.
See you next time.